It's a great privilege for me to be able to share with you the next session of our I'm Not Ashamed series. Who's been enjoying our series so far? It's been a great series. This is the third week. John kicked us off really well the first week. Then Ian spoke. And it's my privilege to speak this morning. And I just want to encourage you, if you've not heard the podcast, please go and listen to the podcasts. And also, who's been enjoying our Romans devotionals? There's about three of you. Okay, I'm sure there's more of you that have read them. I think they've been brilliant. And it's been great to see different people in the church contributing and sharing their thoughts on those passages. So can I encourage you? It's not too late to start. Get your form and sign up and join in on our journey of Romans together. So today's message, obviously, it's taken from the passage of Romans 1, which we've been looking at. And obviously, we've been looking at Paul. And John said in the first week how Paul, he wrote this letter to the Romans, or the Christians in Rome. And Rome was a particularly special place in the fact that it was culturally diverse, it was economically diverse, it was socially diverse, and religiously diverse. So this is the kind of environment and place that Paul had a desire to go and preach the message of the gospel to. And the verse that we kind of hung the whole of this series on, and we should know it off by heart by now, is from Romans 1, 16. And it says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile." So Paul, he was unashamed because he knew about how great the gospel was. I don't know if you were to think of one word to describe Paul, what would that be? When I think of Paul, the word that comes to my mind is the word bold. There is no one quite like him in the Bible, and I would class him as the most bold Christian perhaps this world has ever seen. He had boldness, and he was never ashamed of the gospel because he truly believed it. Now, for those of you this week who have been reading the devotionals, you might have come across this quote by Simon Ponsonbury, who's a theologian, but it's really worth reading it to you again. And this is what Simon says. "This gospel was so glorious that there was never a moment, never a person, never a situation that caused Paul to question it. He proudly proclaimed this gospel in marketplaces, in the homes, in synagogues, in prison, before beggars, rulers, kings. He loved it, he lived it, and he died for it." What a challenge is that? What a challenge. And I don't know how you feel about that, but I'm not quite there yet, but I want to be more unashamed like Paul was of the gospel and more bold for the gospel. And my question to you this morning, and this is rhetorical, you don't have to tell me, but have you ever been ashamed of the gospel? Have you ever been ashamed of the gospel? And probably I'm not going to see any hands go up for this, because we perhaps don't like to admit that maybe we're a little bit ashamed when it comes to sharing our faith. But what if I ask you another question? What if you are maybe a little bit worried about being embarrassed or being humiliated by sharing your faith, especially if you're the only Christian in your workplace or at home? And I can guarantee that we've all been in that place. We've all been in that place where perhaps we've held back because of embarrassment. And the definition of shame is this: to be embarrassed or reluctant to do something through fear of embarrassment or humiliation. And the reason why I think that most people don't share the gospel is because we are worried about what people think. We're worried, what are people going to think if I share the gospel? Will I offend them? Well, not only is the good news of Jesus Christ great news, but actually the gospel is also offensive. You might not realize that, but when Jesus was a baby, he was taken to the temple to be dedicated to God by his parents. And an old man called Simeon, who God had said that before he died, he was going to see Jesus, Savior of the world, he came up to the parents, and imagine saying this to parents of a newborn baby. And this is what he said to the parents: "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Can you imagine, as a parent, getting that message spoken over your child? This child is going to cause a rising and falling. He is going to be someone that is someone that people will speak against. So even from a baby, this happened to Jesus. Then when Jesus was an adult, he was teaching the disciples one time, and he said this: "Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, there'll be a five in one family, three against two, and two against three." Now, you might think to me, Caroline, that doesn't sound very, very good. Jesus causing division. Well, if we read it in context, he was talking to his disciples. He was teaching them about how to reach people. And he was making aware of the realities of how people might receive the gospel. And we're not saying that Jesus isn't bringing peace, because of course he does. He's the Prince of Peace. But in this context, he was saying, my primary purpose is not to come and make people feel good. My primary purpose is not to come and just be, you know, there to people. His primary purpose was to convict people, to change people, to bring people to a place of their realization, their need of God. And so that's what he did with his disciples. And many of you might experience that same thing, where perhaps you're in a family where there's only one of you is a Christian. Maybe your spouse isn't a Christian, or maybe your child isn't a Christian, and that can cause tension. But let me tell you, we're supporting you, and we're believing for you, and we're behind you and championing you, believing that whole families are going to come into church. So the gospel causes offence. So why might the gospel offend people? Well, there's actually specific names for these offences. So it might cause religious offence to some, to say that not by good works can you reach God, but it's through the gift of salvation. That could cause offence. Someone else might take offence the fact that there's justice is met by one innocent man, Jesus Christ. Someone else might take offence that salvation is only through one man, one place, one time. Someone else might take offence thinking, well, I've led a good life, but actually you're telling me that I'm still a sinner. And someone else might take offence by saying God's Son is the only substitute, that the blood of Jesus is the only substitute for our sin, and he carried the sins of the world. There's lots of reasons why people might take offence. And actually, we can start to use that as an excuse to say, actually, they might not understand it, so I'm not going to share it. Maybe we're concerned about the reactions of people's faces. Maybe we're worried that they're going to judge us, or worried that actually they're going to judge, that we're going to judge them. Maybe we just think they're going to laugh at us. And so we don't share the gospel. But Paul says this in Corinthians 1 verse 8. He says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God." If you think back to when you first became a Christian, or perhaps time before then, and someone shared the gospel with you, I wonder what you thought of them. Did you think maybe the message was a bit, oh, that's a bit weird. That's ridiculous. I don't believe that. Because actually the message, when we first hear it, can become foolishness to us. But once we have an encounter with the living God, and once we have a revelation of who God is and our need for him, that is when it comes from foolishness to salvation, for the power of God unto salvation. And I'm sure that we know people that think that we're foolish, but the Bible says the gospel is foolishness to those who do not yet know him. You know, our responsibility isn't to worry about how people react or take offense, but our responsibility is to get the gospel out there. We're not responsible for how people respond, but we are responsible for getting it out there. And so today I want to share about some characteristics, four characteristics of what I believe Paul is encouraging us with, to say, how can we be unashamed in sharing the gospel? And the first thing is this. it is not to be put off by what people think. I'm sure that's perhaps one of the main reasons why we don't share the gospel, because we're put off by what people might think. And in Luke 11, 5 to 8, it says this: Jesus again is teaching his disciples about using a story to teach them. And he says this. He says, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and I can't give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. I love that. Shameless audacity. Can you imagine it? How would you respond if someone came to your home at midnight and said, hey, friend, I've got some visitors that have just arrived. I haven't got any food in. Can you help me out? I would imagine your response might be to text them and say, get on with you. Go to the 24-hour shop down the road. Or maybe they might say, well, I've left my wallet or purse behind. Can you help me? But Jesus was using this as an illustration to say, actually, how much are we prepared to persevere? How much are we prepared to persevere when we get rejected? But we need to keep going and be shameless and have audacity. And I'm wondering maybe how many times you might have invited your friend to come to church and have said no. They've said no and no. But maybe if you just ask one more time, they might think, well, maybe your friend, but just to stop your nagging, I'm going to come to church. It's about some shameless audacity. And Jesus went on to say, ask and it shall be given, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. Let's keep pushing forward with some shameless audacity. The second point, the second characteristic of the unashamed is that it's the power of God to bring salvation. Now, you may know lots of people that seem really far away from God. And I want you to think about that person right now. The person you think who's furthest away from ever coming to know Jesus. Now, I'm sure we can all think of somebody. So I want you to think about that person in your mind. Now I want you to think about Paul, the Apostle Paul, before he was converted. For those of you who know your Bibles, you'll know that before Apostle Paul was converted, he was a blasphemer, he was a persecutor of the Christians, and he had followers that would go and drag the Christians to prison. He was at the death of the first Christian martyr, approving it. He was breathing out murderous threats even before he had an encounter with God. But this man, who was completely far away, was brought near because he had an encounter with God. And the power of salvation met him on the road. And then we know what happened to Paul. He was completely transformed. And that happens. There are people that do get that kind of transformational salvation, that they are completely changed in a moment. But more often than not, it's much more of a journey with people. And it comes over a process. But there is no life that can't be changed. No life that can't be changed. Paul appeared before King Agrippa. In Acts, we read about how he was put on trial. And when he defended himself by using the gospel. Come on, only Paul would do that, wouldn't he? Stand there and defend himself using the gospel. And Agrippa said this to him. He said, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to become a Christian? And Paul's reply was, short or long, I pray that not only you or all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. And what was Paul saying? Paul was saying, well, actually, for some people, it's a short journey, but for others, it's a long journey. But I still believe in the power of salvation. And for some of you, you have got people that you've been praying for years and years and years and years. Keep going. Because there's power in salvation. It doesn't mean God can't save them. It means it's on its way and it's coming. I've got a friend. Yeah. But I've got a friend at work. And I've been witnessing to her for 5 years. And we're really good friends. I meet her outside of work once a month for a coffee. She outpours all her family situations to me. She considers me one of her closest friends. And I've witnessed to her for 5 years. She's been in this place about four times as well. And it doesn't seem in the natural as though anything has changed. She still thinks I'm a fool. You can laugh at that. No, okay. She still thinks that the Christian message is foolishness. But I'm not going to give up on her. I invited her to Alpha and she's declined so far, but I'm going to believe that she's going to come on Alpha and that she's going to be in church. And not only her, but our whole family are going to be in church one day. Why? Because I believe in the power of salvation. And unashamed, don't just look at what they see, but they realize that there is power in salvation. This is what it's about. Power in salvation. And let's believe that person that you've been praying for a long time, that they will come to know Jesus. The next characteristic of the unashamed is that they know the righteousness of God. Or they believe in the righteousness of God. You know, one of the reasons why we might make an excuse for not sharing the gospel is because we don't feel good enough. We don't feel right that we can do that, that we're entrusted with this message, that perhaps we've done something wrong or we haven't lived as we should, and we feel guilty for sharing the message. But you know, we have been made right. We have all been made right by the blood of Jesus. He has clothed us in righteousness. He's taken our shame so that we can be made good. We can be made holy. We can be made acceptable before God. And one of the great enemy's greatest tactics is to remind you that you're not, or make you think you're not good enough. But let me tell you, you can. God has made you right. Paul says, I'm the worst of sinners. I was the worst of sinners. And yet God has clothed me, he's changed me completely. So remember that you have the authority, you are made right to share your faith. You're free from accusation, you can do it. You can share your faith because you have been made righteous. And research has shown, as psychological research has shown, that if people feel ashamed of themselves, then they are more likely to carry on in the state that they're in. But if they can let go of that shame, then they are less likely to do the thing that caused them shame. If we can let go of the shame, and God gives us help to do that. And for some of us, that's the shame that we experience on a daily basis. And yet God took that away. And sometimes we need to forgive ourselves as well. And remember that God has forgiven us. The fourth characteristic of the unashamed is that they live by faith. They live by faith. Paul, in this passage to the Romans there, he did not say the righteous might live by faith, so you might be okay. He said, no, the righteous will live by faith. Paul was the ultimate example of what it meant to live by faith. And by that, he could be unashamed of the gospel. David says in the Psalms, Psalm 37:25, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or their children begging for bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. And I can testify that the years I've been a Christian, I've never gone without. And I believe that God is able to hold us and to keep us as we live in faith. He is able. And we don't have to worry about that. He will take care of our needs. He will not forsake us when we walk in faith. Not that it's going to be easy, but it is possible to walk in faith. Faith brought Paul through so much. It brought him through prison, floggings, exposure to death, danger from rivers, bandits, even his fellow Jews, danger in the city, danger in the town, thirst, cold, nakedness, toil, day and night. He went through all of this, and yet he still said, I live by faith. It is in Christ alone that I live. And if Paul can say that, how much more should we be able to say, do you know what? I can live by faith. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Hebrews chapter 11. And it says all about the men and women, great men and women of faith. And I love that. And I encourage you to read that passage. And it's really great. But one of the great verses I love is where it says, and they died, or they lived in faith until they died. I love that. They didn't stop living in faith halfway through, but right up until their dying breath, they lived by faith. And I believe, as Paul's in a great example, that it is possible to live our life by faith. Our whole life. It's not easy, but it is possible. So we can be unashamed of the gospel because of its power to salvation, because of the fact that it makes us right with God, and the fact that it is possible to live by faith. But some of you might say to me, Caroline, I don't feel it this morning. I don't feel that confidence that you're perhaps talking about. I've lost my confidence perhaps in the salvation. I've shared my story too many times and nothing has happened. I've been rebuked and it's hard. I've lost that belief in myself. Well, Paul says this. He says this in Hebrews 10:35. Do not throw away your confidence, for it will be richly rewarded. And some of you may have thrown away your confidence because of past experience. But can I encourage you? Why don't you take that confidence back up again? And Paul gives us some great instruction about how we can gain confidence when we've lost it. And this is found in the spiritual armor. And you can find this in Ephesians 6. Now, I haven't got time to go through all the bits of armor today, and I encourage you to read that in your own time. But for the purpose of this message, I want to touch on three elements of the armor. Because Paul says, for salvation, there is a helmet. If you've lost faith in your salvation, if you've lost faith in the belief that there is power in salvation, there is a helmet for that. And what does a helmet do? It protects our mind. So you might be thinking, having doubts about salvation, doubts about sharing your faith, but wearing the spiritual armor of salvation can help you with that. There's a piece of spiritual armor for righteousness where you can wear a breastplate, and a breastplate covers your heart, where you say, actually, God, I'm not going to allow people or the past to dictate to me any longer. I am going to realize I am right and I'm righteous before you. I am righteous because of what you did on the cross, and I can be qualified for sharing the gospel. And the last thing is armor for our faith. Now, many of you might have shared your faith again and again, and actually you might have had a bad reaction. Or you might have shared your faith one day and the next day your car breaks down. Or something happens at home. Or you have a money crisis. Or you become unwell. And sometimes it can feel like, why God? Why God? I shared my faith. I was faithful. And then that happened. Well, do you know, we have an enemy that does not want us to share the faith. He does not want us to share our faith. And he might come at us with those fiery arrows to stop us from sharing our faith. But Paul says there is a shield of faith that can, if we use it, can stop the arrows of the enemy. The shield of faith. The armor helps us to give us courage to be bold and unashamedly present the gospel. You know, when we're confident in God, it breeds confidence. Confidence breeds confidence. And another friend that I've got, I have got more than one, another friend that I've got at work, she, one lunchtime a few weeks ago, she came up to me. They all know that I'm Christian at work. They know I'm trained to be a minister. And she came up to me and she said, Caroline, can I ask you something? And I said, yeah, sure. She said, last night, my boy, out of nowhere, my five-year-old son, asked me, why did Jesus die? I went, okay. And she said, I looked at him, I didn't understand where that had come from, but I didn't have a clue how to answer him. So she said to me, so can you explain to me, why did Jesus die? I'm like, no. I'm like, wow, what opportunity was that? And for the next half an hour, I shared the gospel and I answered all the questions. My other colleague was sitting at the desk as well, pretending not to listen. But how did that opportunity come about? It's because she'd seen in the past that I was confident in my God. She'd seen that I was confident, and so she came to me to ask the gospel. You know, when we're confident, it breeds confidence. We don't have to strive. I believe people will come to you and ask, what is this faith? What is this faith? What must I do to be saved? You know, when we throw, the Bible says, don't throw away your confidence, for it be richly rewarded. And there is rewards to our faith and our confidence in God. And one of those is found in Matthew 10:32. And it says this, therefore, everyone who acknowledges me before men, this is Jesus speaking, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Isn't that incredible? That when we stand up for Jesus, he acknowledges us to God in heaven. He says, hey, have you seen my servant down there? Have you seen my servant Sarah? She's just shared the gospel. Look at that. God sees it. You know, when the first Christian martyr, Stephen, was killed for his faith, the Bible says as he was being stoned, he looked up to heaven and he could see a vision, and he could see Jesus at the right hand of God. But he wasn't sat down, as we see most of the time in the Bible where it says he's seated at the right hand of God. But it said he was stood up. Jesus was stood up as Stephen was being killed for his faith. And I want to encourage you that as you stand up for your faith, as you unashamedly share the gospel, there is Jesus in heaven cheering you on and saying, well done, my servant. Come on, you can do it. Come on, I'm standing up for you because you're standing up for me. And not only is Jesus stood up, but the Bible says that we've got the great cloud of witnesses of all the men and women of faith that have gone by saying, come on, come on, you can do this. You can be unashamed of this gospel. There is a reward. We have a message that people need to hear. And you know, we have to respond ourselves to this. And as I come to a close, I want us to think about this message. That is like a flame that we light, and the message burns, and we have a choice what we do with the message. You know, our time is short on earth, and we have no idea when Jesus is coming to come back again, but he has given us time to share the message, and we have to think, what are we going to do with that message? Are we going to allow it to burn out, or are we going to allow it to burn on? Because if we do nothing and we just allow our faith to burn out, it will. Life will happen, situations will happen, and our message will burn out. But actually, I want to challenge us today to think, actually, let's share our message. Let's not allow ourselves to burn out, but unashamedly, let's pass the message on. Be prepared to go again. Maybe you've asked somebody, you've shared your faith. Keep going, persevere, have some shameless audacity. But maybe you've been again and you just need to go again and pass on your faith. We've got a baptismal service coming up on Easter Sunday. Maybe for you, actually, to be baptized, is what you need to do to say that I'm unashamed of the gospel. Maybe you need to make the decision that on Easter Sunday, I'm going to go through the waters of baptism to say that I'm unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to keep going. Don't allow shame of the past to dictate your future. But will you just remember that you're qualified, you're called, and that you can unashamedly, because of the power of salvation, because of the righteousness we have, because we can live by faith, you can share your faith. It might not be easy, and it probably won't be easy, but by wearing the spiritual armor, we can persevere, And we can see, I believe, many come to faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask my great friends here, Johnny and Tracy, just to go down to the bottom here. Thank you, guys. And, you know, I think this deserves a response this morning. And if we can't respond in church, how are we going to respond outside of church? And I'm going to ask that if you think, do you know what, I know that I've allowed embarrassment and humiliation to stop me from sharing the gospel. If you want to say, do you know what, today I want to be bold. I want to be unashamed of the gospel, not worrying about what people think. Then I'm going to invite you to come down the front and stand by my two friends here. And that takes a bit of courage. And maybe for you, you've never walked down the front before. But maybe this is your moment to say, I'm going to unashamedly come down the front and I'm going to say, the gospel is power unto salvation. So who's going to join my friends Johnny and Tracy here down the front and say they're going to be unashamed of the gospel? Thank you, guys. Brilliant. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, God. Come on down the front. If you move down. That's great. It's amazing. Thank you, God. God is cheering you right now. Jesus is cheering you guys right now from heaven. And he's proud of every one of you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to pray for you now as you have made this decision to be bold, that you'll know the power of God in your life. Father, I want to thank you for everyone that stood here, that's made the stand to say that they are not going to be ashamed of your word. They're not going to be ashamed of the gospel, but they're going to be courageous and share with others. Father, I pray that their light will shine so bright. I pray, Lord God, that you would give them confidence. I pray that you give them boldness. I pray, Lord God, that wherever they're at, Lord God, that they would just show your love to people, and that, Lord God, that the message would just overflow from them. And I pray, Lord God, that you give them the words to say. Father God, I'm believing, Lord God, that you're going to use these people, Lord God, perhaps work colleagues and family members, and Lord, that you're going to use every single one of these people stood up here to share your gospel, and that, Lord, people are going to come to know you as a result. Father God, may they know that there is power in your salvation. May they know that they are right before you, that they have been made righteous in your sight, and may they example a life led by faith. Just anoint them and bless them, we pray. I ask this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Bless you guys. Thank you.